Supporters, you can send us your feedback. Just drop us an email to comments@fsrn.org. That's comments@fsrn.org. Our newscast is produced by Catherine Comp and Vinod Jones. Our Washington, D.C. editor is Leanne Caldwell, and our headlines editor is Shannon Young. Our tech team in Berkeley includes Rose Katapchi and Oscar Hernandez. Our interns are Robert Rosa and Maciel Bobadilla. From KPFK in L.A., I'm Laura Bogado.
And this is WBAI New York. The time is 7 o'clock. Time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. For Billy Bones was the best effect for worse. I hope that's understood, but didn't it know?
Good to everybody. The program is off. No, don't get off the phone. Don't get off the phone. No, stay on the phone. This is a hectic show, so everybody can stay on the phone and make their personal calls. Yeah. This is the pre-Hope show where we have a studio filled with people and everybody's leaving their phones on, right? So we can demonstrate how crazy it's been. This is the day before the conference, and it's going ballistic, isn't it?
Some people call that 2 days before.
Yeah. Well, I've lost that ability. Okay, who's first? Lexicon, okay. Let's not try to make the calls too long, at least. The Last Hope Conference is starting on Friday at the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York. A bunch of us have already been to the hotel setting things up. I got to drive a huge truck today, but I'm going to tell that story in just a little bit. First, introductions. Mike is here.
Hi.
And that's not Kevin over there.
That's me, hey.
All right. And is that the Cheshire Catalyst?
Yes, I'm afraid it is.
Wow. You're in from where?
From Florida.
Florida. Wow. Cool. And you come to all the Hope conferences?
Yep.
All right.
Everyone so far.
And Lexicon's over there playing with his phone.
Hello.
How you doing? We've got all kinds. Is that Renderman I see in the back there? Other people, just come up and say hi. Now, you were Red Hat last time, but you're not this time, so you got to come up with something else.
No, I'm not Red Hat this time.
No, you're not. So who are you?
Dot Red.
Okay, you're Dot Red. That's cool. And that's Rob T. Firefly over there.
Good evening.
Looks like I can't see all the other people. A-Team, how you doing?
Hello.
Well, you're also from Florida.
Yeah.
So you must know Cheshire.
Kennedy Space Center, right?
So yes. Yeah, okay. You two probably know each other from down there. And is Great Frequency over on the other side of the room?
Hello.
And you're a friend of his, okay? And Mark S, step up and say hi. Oh, you know you said hi last week. You can say it one more word this week. Okay, we've just been running around. Actually, Mark, you have the programs, right? Where are the programs? We just got the program. What do you mean they're out there? You left them unguarded?
Wait.
No, the programs for The Last Hope, they are officially out. We just picked them up. Nobody knows where they are. We've lost them already. Oh, here they are. I'm sorry. They're behind me. No, they're behind me. Listen to this quality. That's nice and hard.
You want to hit me on the head with it?
You know, I would like that very much.
All right, hold on.
Actually, Dot Red, why don't you hit him over the head with that? Hit him. Oh. No, you can do better than that. That's your hand. No, hit his head. There you go. Yeah, good.
No, you have to roll it up for, you know, optimal.
All right.
So the program book is in hard copy.
People are lined up to hit Kevin on the head. Here's a whole bunch of them there. You guys can look through that. This is our spiffy program that has all the talks and all the speakers and various other things that are going
to
be happening.
So Mary Poppins is going to Hope?
You don't give away the cover. People have to come and see for themselves. Okay, and who's on the phone with us?
No one.
Where's Bernie?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I can call him again.
Bernie's on his way here, he said.
We talked to his voicemail last week.
I bet he's...
We can easily do it this week, but we don't want to give his phone number.
No, we don't want to do that, so maybe you should pulse it out.
Okay,
go ahead. Yeah. I'll turn it down. Bernie, you're probably listening to us now, honk your horn or something. You're probably driving up furiously frustrated that you're out of cell phone range but in radio range. And can't reach us for that reason. But Bernie S. is, in fact, heading for New York, so lock your doors tonight.
Hooray!
Yeah. All right, this is Bernie's phone ringing. We have backups if we don't reach Bernie.
We have many.
So many people to talk
to.
People are flying in from all over the world. Jello Biafra is coming tonight. And, well, he won't make it to the show, but Kevin Mitnick's on his way. Sounds like
hello.
Oh, there he is. There he is. Bernie, you're on the phone.
Here.
Where exactly are you?
I'm just departing Philadelphia with a vehicle full of equipment for the Hope Conference.
You know, Mark talked to you a few hours ago, and you were just departing Philadelphia then. It's
well,
a hard city to leave, isn't it?
I had to pick up some video projectors and some other things that weren't available until just a little while ago.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, that's good. So I guess you won't make it to the show unless you really know how to fly.
I really wish I had one of those transporters I remember from Star Trek. That would be so handy right now.
Well, drive safe. The important thing is that you get here in as few pieces as possible.
Well, the car will be probably one of the one most full of mass on a New Jersey turnpike. So
don't put yourself down like that. It's it'll be great to see you up here in New York. What are you looking forward to the most at the conference? Yeah, it's Lexicon again with this phone. No one else's phone is ringing.
Oh, wait. Let me turn down the... yeah, maybe the echo is less now. Hello?
Yes, we're still here.
We're still here.
Yeah,
say something interesting.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, there's so much going on at this conference. There's the there's a telephone network being put in, a telefreak network. There's Lockpicking Village. There's all these hackerspaces from around the world are coming to show the projects they're working on. And there's
okay, hold on 1 second. Lexicon, your phone now has rung every... What is this, a submarine? Those are text messages? But no one else is... Everybody here has their phone on, and yet nobody else is getting messages.
Yeah,
my phone was ringing every 15 seconds, and I have two of them.
I'm getting questions about the whole RFID thing.
Uh-huh. Well, the whole RFID thing is happening, so people listening, just that's the answer to the question. Now, Bernie, just to interrupt you for a second, you mentioned the telefreak people. Actually, a few of them are here. Not Kevin, you want to do some introductions?
Oh, sure.
Come on, Steve. Hey. Well, that's not much of an introduction. You've got to introduce him.
I'm not really good at this whole
thing.
Just
say, this is X, you know, that's what
your
you have.
Job.
Okay, go ahead. Introduce yourself, Beav.
I'm Beav from Telefree. I'm doing the project this year, thank
you. Now, tell us something about the project, but you got to tell that little thing there. Yeah.
All right, well, we're primarily to the Asterisk server. We have conferencing. We're setting up kind of like the old 2600 voice BBS system and lots of other strange little things that we're adding into the project as we're going on.
Do you actually remember the old 2600 voice BBS system?
Actually, I never called into it, but I've read about it.
Uh-huh. So. People have written about it.
Right.
You remember it, Bernie?
I remember it. I had a mailbox on that system, and it was a fun system. I especially like the general message board. People could just leave all kinds of messages, and people could just play them all back, and it was totally anonymous, and... it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was the days before caller ID was everywhere, so you never knew who was calling.
And there were some really interesting anonymous messages that were left there for everyone. It was sort of like a voice bulletin board system.
Yeah, that's what it was, voice BBS.
And there's a project that has not been covered yet that's going to be attempted at Hope this year.
Only one. That's more than one, but...
Well, there's one that no one has said anything about yet. There's probably several nobody has said anything about yet, but we're going to attempt to set up a free-to-air... Earth downlink station. On the roof, we're going to have set up a satellite dish and receive signals from satellites that most people never see programming from. This is going to be foreign television and radio channels that no cable company or DirecTV or Dish Network would touch with a 10-foot pole.
These are satellites orbiting Earth?
Yes, these are geosynchronous satellites that are used by other countries to distribute audio and video programming to their citizens, which generally is not of interest to corporations that provide self-programming to U.S. citizens, like, for instance, Al Jazeera. There aren't very many cable companies or satellite companies that will, like, offer that. And other, just, you know, you could watch live television from Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
You could watch the camel races.
Yeah, the camel races this year are particularly interesting, but we'll save that for another show. But it's been a hard-fought competition, really, to the end. But it's interesting
the
you
one
mentioned.
With, like, the six-year-old jockeys?
Let's not. Yeah, it's another show.
These robots now.
But here's the thing. You mentioned Al Jazeera, and in fact, there's a cable company in Burlington, Vermont, that offers Al Jazeera in English, and there are some people there who are up in arms saying, how dare you offer this this freedom of speech and alternative viewpoint, and they want to shut it down. But, of course, it's been on for about 2 years now, and most people... Okay, whose phone is that? Someone else's phone. Okay, cool. We have other phones ringing. There is a small but loud group of people that want to shut it down, but I think most people want to choose for themselves.
That's right, and so there'll be a demo. It'll be located at the W2H ham AM radio station, and there'll be a satellite receiver and a monitor there, and you'll be welcome to come and see which of the hundreds of interesting programs from around the world you can watch live from a satellite.
Awesome. Okay, that's just one of many things going on. We have, if you can take a moment from your phone lexicon, tell us about the RFID project that's been going on. It's called the AMD project. Tell us what that's all about.
It's a kind of people tracking system with the RFID side, and the AMD side is we wanted to get people who have similar interests to be able to connect at the conference. And it's
just ignore it.
Yeah.
It'll go away. Take it away from them.
We can make it go away.
If I touch the button, it stops beeping.
If I touch that button, it'll stop beeping forever.
Okay.
So go on.
Yeah, so I wanted to come up with a way of allowing people to connect to each other who had similar interests at the conference, and I told some of my friends, and kind of snowballed into having a massive kind of draconian system where we've got where people can send each other email addresses and telephone numbers if they have the same interests, and they can play games with the big RFID system.
Now, this is something that that we're giving to people who are pre-registered and also speakers. And not everybody's not going to want to be tracked. We're looking at it as a game, but some people might not want to do that. So you have the option of getting what we call an unpopulated badge. That's a badge that looks the same but doesn't have the electronics on it. And those of you who weren't lucky enough to pre-register and are going to come to the door, you'll have a chance, too, to get one of these badges. It might not be for a day or so when we have a collection of the ones that people don't want or that people who return them, and then you'll be able to trade them in. So I think just about everybody who wants them will have the opportunity to play with them. Should be a lot of fun. It's never really been attempted on this level before, has it?
Well, a lot of people use RFID, but using it at a conference with the active tags and watching where people go all the time is kind of unusual. I know Motorola's done some tests at conferences where they're matching face patterns and the RFID badge that's actually the plane ticket. And when people go to the airport, it's going to not only track their RFID ticket, it's also going to track their face with cameras in the airport. So when you get to the gate, it matches you with your ticket being in the same place at the same time.
Okay. So many people have pitched in on this project. There's been a very dedicated group
Absolutely.
Of people in the New York area that has been working on this for months, and some really skilled people there. And also our friends in Germany helped us out quite a bit.
Milos with the openbeacon.org. They developed the system that we're using, the hardware we're using, and it's a pretty neat little trick they did using some fairly cheap little components put together to do something fairly complex.
Now, Milos just arrived in the States a couple of days ago, and I believe he had a whole lot of RFID readers with him. We were concerned about that.
We thought he was going to ship them ahead of time, but he brought them with him.
It wasn't that so much. I was just concerned with customs, what they would think
all
these RFID readers attached to one person. You know.
Yeah.
but he made it, and he's here, and he's going to be at the conference, and it'll be a fun experiment. Just the admission badges alone are going to be a fun experiment.
Mm-hmm.
What other fun experiments do we have? Well, we've got all the German soda coming, don't we?
Yeah, the Club Monte Comte, yeah.
Not in English, Mike.
Yes, the
Club. We all know you're taking a German course.
Yeah, the Club Monte is coming. It's in a warehouse somewhere mysterious, and it's supposed to come to the hotel tomorrow.
Well, it's interesting. We've been sort of tracking the progress. It went across the ocean on a boat, and then it arrived. And last week at this time, we found out that it was being held by customs somewhere in Staten Island.
Staten Island, the New York. I can tell you exactly where. The New York Container Terminal in
New
Staten
Container
Island.
New York Container Terminal. I've never been there.
No.
And, we were looking on some kind of website, and they were saying that this shipment is being held by customs. And we were like, oh, no, does this mean that they want to really investigate this and find out what it is, and it's going to miss the conference and all that. And then as I was I was standing outside talking to some people for a few hours last week, and while I was talking to them, I actually called our friend Big Frank in Staten Island to see if he's one of our security guys, to see if he might be able to exert some pull with customs. And no more than an hour later, the shipment was cleared by customs. Now, Frank didn't do anything. He didn't make any phone calls. He didn't talk to anybody about it. But somehow I like to think that just his willingness to get that cleared was enough. That's the kind of magic that happens. So it got cleared by customs, but so where is it now?
In a warehouse.
Somewhere in a warehouse. And it's supposed to arrive at the hotel tomorrow.
Yes.
And we're not exactly sure how this is going to work because, well, okay, you want to quickly describe what pallets are and how all that works?
A pallet is this wooden thing that you can put a forklift into, and you can put stuff on top of it.
Uh-huh.
Is that clear?
I guess people know what a forklift is.
Yeah.
What's
but,
that?
And you need a loading dock in order to do this. And apparently, do we have a loading dock or don't we have a
loading
dock?
The Hotel Pennsylvania does not have a loading dock, but we have an excellent, top-notch elevator operator.
First of all, how is it that a hotel built in the 1918 or whatever, how is it they never got around to putting in a loading dock?
There's a lot of things they never got around to doing.
All right. So we're going to somehow... So we don't have the equipment to unload these. We have five pallets of
the
stuff.
Well, the truck is bringing a pallet jack, which is an alternate way of moving pallets,
okay.
A little bit more manual.
Okay. And our friend
the elevator operator.
Hang on, Kevin, you're on vibrate. I told everybody to go on ring.
I'm sorry, I was being a little bit polite.
No, don't be polite. It will not work.
Should I pick up, tell him to call again, put it back on the
ring?
Please. All right.
Would you? Thank you.
Hey, Mitch, can you call me back in just a second?
Yeah, and yeah.
Like literally.
In 30 seconds. He's talking. Tell him you can't talk to him.
You can't talk. You have to call me back.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
In 30 seconds.
Don't you hate when people just don't obey your rules? Okay, so
yeah.
It's being delivered sometime tomorrow, but I heard there was a possibility that we might have to actually physically carry it case by case instead of using a pallet mover or something like that. So
I'm told we have a top-notch elevator operator.
Okay, well, that's good for operating the elevator, but how is it for carrying German soda across a room? You know,
it's a top notch. That's all I can say.
We need people there. Is what I'm
top
getting at.
Oh, man.
Sure.
All right. Well, you're battling me on this. I'm trying to get people to show up and help. So.
Well, there's all kinds of things to help with, not just soda.
What else?
There's all kinds of setup to be done. There's pipes and drape and whatever that is. We have a lot of it. We have tables. I know what those are. We have a lot of those. We have chairs. We have all kinds of things, and they all need to be set up.
Chris, our AV guru, has wandered in and.
Right.
That's not Chris. Oh, sorry. I thought you were Chris. No, that's Lynn.
That's Lynn. This is the soda expert.
I just glanced at you to the side of my. And so many people here. Well, Lynn, why don't you come up and tell us about AV stuff? Well, you're the closest thing we have to Chris right now.
Sorry, I don't know anything about the AV stuff.
Well, what do you know?
I can tell you about the radio station.
All right, do that.
So we're
that's audio visual.
Special event ham radio station at the conference, and the call sign for that is W2H.
Is that legal?
That is a legal FCC-issued special event one-by-one call sign.
One-by-one call sign. What does that mean?
It means one letter by a number by another letter, which
wow.
You cannot have permanently issued that only is for special events.
But what if the conference doesn't end?
The call sign ends on Sunday night.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's no fun.
So and that's, I've got the packet radio equipment, so we can go unpack it as well.
Wow.
That's
okay.
Two radio stations, though.
There's another radio station, too. That's your ring.
Well, that's what it is on loud.
All right, fine.
Oh, hey, Mitch.
All right. Hey, Mitch, what's up? So Lex, why don't you tell us about the other radio station that's happening?
It's
conference.
Called Radio Statler. It's a streaming internet audio station. And
Statler being the old name for the hotel.
Yes, and we're going to have people manning it around the clock. It's like a three-day-long show with all hackers all the time. And just people playing music and talking, and we're going to try and get a lot of the speakers in to be interviewed.
For those of you who can't make it to the conference, apart from being a pathetic specimen of humanity yourselves, well, you can listen to the conference. You can listen to
yes.
What's not actually the – I don't think every talk is going to be streamed, but
no,
people
no.
being
the,
interviewed.
The major ones will be.
Right.
But you just go to radio.hope.net to listen to the stream, and that will start up probably Friday morning.
And it will all be archived, too, so you'll be able to do this for years ahead as well. And, of course, we'll have all the talks being recorded and made available later on as well.
And we still need producers, people to do shows. So.
Not Kevin, then Bernie.
Speaking of getting people's names wrong, we seem to have missed to introduce someone.
Missed introduce somebody?
That was unintelligible English. I have no idea.
Unintelligible English. Well, you're on a roll here, aren't you?
I'm trying. This
okay.
Is you're not supposed to pick up.
Introduce
so
the person we forgot to introduce.
Why doesn't he introduce himself? That way I don't screw it up this time.
This is very complicated.
I'm trying to make it as complicated as possible.
You're succeeding.
Yes, you're good at that.
Congratulations.
Me. Hello, my name's Slee Stack.
Greetings. And where are you from?
I came out from Oregon. I flew out here all night with a payphone on the aircraft.
Okay, yeah. Now, you mentioned before that you had a couple of payphones.
Yeah.
Now, you brought the payphones onto an airplane with you?
I brought one of them, yeah, because I wasn't really sure if it was going to get shipped and show up and all
uh-huh.
that, so I wanted to make sure I had something here, so.
And how do you, well, I guess you have to check a payphone, right? You can't carry that as
well.
Put
I was going to, I was actually going to put it in the overhead bin if they didn't allow me to check it. It was technically overweight.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Although I guess the scale didn't work, so they didn't charge me anything extra. It was pretty nice. Yeah.
Cool.
GSA actually opened it up and couldn't figure out how to put it back together again, so that's cool.
Well, this, they never saw anything like that before. I have stories to tell. And Rob T. Firefly, go ahead.
You know, someone somewhere on that same plane had a bottle of hand lotion taken away or some hair gel, and but you were fine with your payphone.
It's a total vault, too. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you could stick all kinds of things inside there.
You could?
Yeah. Wow.
Well, my bag had so many cables and wires and things in it with all the ham radio gear that I included a copy of my ham radio license in the bag for TSA to find.
And what did they?
Probably. Things were a little messed up in the bag when they opened it, so they were in there.
Did you have a bag cam?
Yeah, they leave a calling card.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I haven't looked for that, but it's probably in there.
I can pop my NSA hat and make sure it's pointing
up. Bernie, good. You had something, Bernie.
Oh, yeah. So we were talking about the Radio Statler streaming audio live from the conference all weekend. One of the unique things about this, unlike all the other conferences where we've recorded all the panel discussions and all the talks, This project, Radio Statler, will capture the live feeling of everything going on the mezzanine level, where there'll be, you know, dozens of projects, live things people are working on, and there'll be roving reporters from Radio Statler walking around with wireless mics, actually interviewing people and asking what they're doing, maybe going out in the street, doing man in the street interviews, and this is all going to be streamed live over the internet at radio.hope.net. So that's it. And it will also be archived, so you could actually listen to what it was like at the conference if you were so unfortunate as to not make it in person.
Yeah, it's one of many ways that this conference will be remembered by many people.
And for those of you without internet, you can listen to the live stream via Telefreak.
Now, how does that work?
You can call up one of our SIP numbers, and we'll be playing the live feed over our conference.
And how do people get those numbers?
How do those people get the numbers?
We can publish them on the net. And we can
yeah, but you see, if you don't have the net, that's the whole point. You don't have the net, so how do you call? Right. We don't know the numbers yet, do we? We don't know the numbers.
I can't answer that right now.
Okay. Well,
what web address do they look on when you've got it?
Yeah.
Telefreak.org.
Telefreak. Spell that. T-E-L-E-P-H-R-E-A-K. Okay, .org. Great. So that's yet another interesting thing that will be going on at the conference. What else has been happening? Renderman, why don't you say something? You're coming down here from Canada?
Yep, coming all the way from Alberta.
Wow. And
Air Canada canceled one of my flights.
Did they?
Oh, dear.
So where'd you wind up stranded?
Toronto.
Uh-huh.
I had beer, so I was good.
Cool. And you've been at a bunch of these conferences?
First one was H2K.
Wow.
I can say. Been coming ever since, and
they just keep getting bigger, don't they?
They do.
It's out of control. I mean, the amount of people involved in coordinating this one, I think, is more than we've ever had, and we just seem to be doing more things. And we've gotten much more of a reaction for this one, I think, than any of the others as well. I mean, Cheshire, you've been around for a bunch mm-hmm. of them.
Oh yeah,
you noticed that, right?
Larger, more expansive, better.
Yeah, a lot more of a buzz going on.
And the people enjoy it too. That's the big thing.
Yeah, they sure do.
Yes, we do.
Do we have Greg on the line?
We have.
It doesn't sound like Greg to me, unless that was Bernie.
Who's there?
Yeah.
Okay,
Bernie is still there, so that was Greg making those funny noises.
All right,
well, Greg will be coming on the phone, coming online in a few minutes. Not quite sure what happened to him. He was in Nassau County, so the phone lines can be a little crazy there. But Greg, in fact, was today, he was a truck driver for us. We rented, in addition to the 2600 van, which I had the privilege of driving into the city yet again, we rented a huge, huge vehicle, bigger. I had to drive this thing. I had to pick this up at the rental place and drive this massive truck, which it's the kind of truck that would smash into a bridge on the Northern State Parkway, and the kind that you have to be very careful when you're making turns. Otherwise, you're going to knock into something, and when you back up, it beeps and that kind of thing. We got that because we just have so much material, so many items that we're bringing in, T-shirts and issues and things like that. At one point, we thought we might be bringing all the sodas, all the German Club Mates into into the city with that. But as it turns out, it's coming directly to the hotel, so we don't have to worry about that. But we still have this massive truck that is, it's like something I have never seen before. I was scared driving it.
You've never seen a truck?
Well, not from the inside. All these different like controls and things. For one thing, you open up the back, and there's this whole way of making the ramp go down, and you can do it wrong, and people are giving all kinds of advice and things like that.
And it whistles at you when you
okay,
get up the
now,
brakes.
Here's, yeah, that's something that I noticed. Is Greg with us now? Greg, are you there?
Yeah, hi, I'm here.
How are you doing?
The truck is safely.
And the truck is safe?
It is safe and sound and locked and in a mysterious location, which will not be revealed.
Yes, it is a mysterious location, that's for sure. Greg, actually, are we speaking to you through Alaska? Because we're calling your Alaskan cell phone number. So are we actually going to Alaska and coming back here? Because you sound very far away.
Well, I just said we weren't going to give away the secret location of the truck, and I don't know if I can comment on that.
Yeah.
That would be a good secret.
How fast can you drive, anyway? So one thing that I noticed, you and Dot Red were out on the island today, just driving all over the place with this truck and loading it with things. But I noticed this when I was driving it over to meet you, that there seemed to be, every time I would stop someplace, it sounded like some guy was whistling at me, like, you know, telling me to, like, not do something because I was about to, like, hit somebody. Did you hear that whistling noise?
Yeah, the same guy was in the truck with us, and we finally determined that it happened when you took your foot off the brake, which, driving into New York on a weekday afternoon, you had to use the brake a whole lot. So there was a lot of whistling going on.
And they weren't catcalls either. There was some kind of safety thing that the big trucks do.
The brakes
make that noise.
Yeah, maybe it was a leak of some sort.
I see. Well, it kind of freaked me out, but so you guys had a fun afternoon loading up a truck, and
things are really smooth. The program looks excellent. The shirts look really, really good. And you have the hammocks, and the hammocks are a big mystery. So I think anyone who likes a puzzle should get ready to.
Now, did you bring? We have in the warehouse one complete hammock in the box with instructions. Did
Actually,
you bring it?
You're wrong. We did not have one in the box. We had two.
We had two. Yes. How many do we have now?
How many did I bring?
Yes. How many did you bring with you?
Well, if you're asking if I brought one or both, is that your question?
Or you could have brought zero.
Exactly. There's three possibilities here.
Yes.
Or I could have destroyed them and brought them in pieces. But no.
But did you bring the instructions?
I brought the whole damn warehouse. So
All right, sounds good.
It's there. Don't worry.
So then the only puzzle is how to decipher the directions.
And I have other good news, too. Our friend Rob from Holland has booked his flight today to come. He wasn't sure he'd be able to make it, and a lot of people are putting their lives on hold to come to this thing, as well they should.
Now, if you book, when is his flight?
I don't know. I can't keep track of everything. Whose phone is that? Okay, Dot Red's phone.
I'm letting it go.
Yeah, well, I'm listening to the music. Why would you want to pick up your favorite song? I just find it amazing that my phone has, neither one of my phones has rung yet. They've been, don't call me not yet. No, it's just amazing because they've been ringing nonstop.
Which phone are you going to call? I'll call the other one.
I guess because all of you have been calling me. That must be it.
No.
Okay, you're going to call both my phones at the same time. This is really, really mature, guys. Really mature.
Yeah, well, you know.
Uh-huh. What was I just saying? Yeah, yes. Wait, Bernie, I was saying something and I forgot what I was, does anybody remember what I was talking about?
Well, while you're thinking of that, nobody? I wanted to announce.
Thank you. Are you happy now? Are you?
A little bit.
All right. I'm not picking it up.
I'm going to keep calling then.
And this is Mike's polka beat. I have that just for your ring, Mike.
So other people should call you to hear different rings.
This is embarrassing. I was in the middle of something, and not a single person in the room can remember what it was I was talking
about.
No. What are we talking about?
We're totally distracted.
And I guess none of the listeners can remember either.
So go ahead, Bernie.
Yes. Go ahead, Bernie. Since you don't remember what I was talking about either.
No, I can't. My ESP is not working today. But I do want to mention we will have a very special guest at the Last Hope Conference, someone who has not been heard on this station for nearly a year, and that is... I'll wait till the music stops.
Okay, I think it stopped.
Jeopardy Jim.
Okay, tell us more.
but
yeah, Jeopardy Jim.
So he's feeling better.
He is feeling better. He's been talking for many weeks about how anxious he is to come to the Hope Conference. He has barely been able to get outside for many months. As many of our listeners know, he had a severe stroke last year. And he's been recovering. mentally, he's all there. He's just as intellectual as he's ever been. His communication centers of his brain are not working quite as well as they will after he recovers fully. So he has a little trouble speaking, but he hears fine, and he can't write well, but we're going to give him a laptop computer so he can keep in touch with the world. Here's the point. He's going to be at the Last Hope Conference, and all of our listeners who are attending can get a chance to meet him in person and assist him in practicing his communication skills. So this is something he's been looking forward to. It's really going to be his first real public appearance since he was struck down by a stroke. And
I know we've been in touch with one of the people that have been helping him over there. As you're saying, he really needs more of this kind of interaction with people. Doesn't get nearly enough where he is right now. But this person seemed to think that this could be the stimuli to get him out of what he's trapped in right now, to really help him, right?
Right. His psychologist told me the other day that she thinks this could really be the springboard that Jim needs to get his brain working in a communicative mode with lots of people. So I encourage all of our Hope attendees to stop by. We're going to have a chair set up for him at the 2600 vending area on the 18th floor, where there's T-shirts and hats and stuff like that, and back issues of the magazine. So he'll be hanging out there, going to listen to talks, that sort of thing. He'll be probably the tallest guy at the conference, so you can't miss him.
Well, we have a lot of Dutch people coming, so I don't know if that's true, but
that's true. That's right. They're very tall as well. Anyway, if anybody's looking for Jim, just ask around, and someone will point him out, and I'm sure he'll be very glad to meet all of our listeners.
Now, Bernie, let me ask you: is there anything that people can do to help? Because I know we were looking for people to help out with making this possible in the first place.
Well, we've gotten several volunteers to hang out with Jim on different times and shifts. So he'll be accompanied. Fortunately, someone was generous enough to get him a room. We've gotten volunteers to help with transportation to pick him up Friday morning at the nursing home, and people volunteering to take him out to eat and whatever. This is really going to be truly Jim's excellent adventure. He's going to have a mind-blowing experience. This may be a little overwhelming for him because he's had so little public dialogue since he was struck down by the stroke, but I think this is going to be very therapeutic for him. I think he's going to have a great time. He's been so looking forward to this. As far as help they can give him, you can ask him that question yourself when you come to the Hope Conference.
Okay, and do you know if anybody is needed to stay with him in whatever room he winds up in? Is that taken care of?
We've arranged that for someone to stay in his room with him.
Okay.
We've got a dedicated volunteer in David, and things are pretty set up. But if anybody wants to offer help, they can email me, bernies@2600.com, and if you could email me your cell phone, their cell phone number, I'll get in touch with them and see and find out what assistance they could offer during the weekend during the conference for Jim.
Okay, well, it's great that that'll be happening, and I know it's going to mean a lot to him, and I hope people say hi. And the progress continues.
I just want to say, our listeners, most of our listeners are really intense thinking people, interested in all areas of technology and culture. And try to imagine yourself not able to communicate while you have this mind, all the stuff going on in your mind, and you really are having trouble communicating. How frustrating that would be. So that's what Jim's going through right now, and as you communicate with him during the conference, you'll be able to help him get out of that rut he's in.
Okay. Well, again, thanks, Bernie, for all your efforts on that. And again, email Bernie, bernies@2600.com, if you have anything that you can offer to help out with that. Now, we're also, of course, going to need all kinds of help tomorrow. Tomorrow's Thursday. It's load-in. It's where we start setting everything up. So what should people do? Just show up?
Well, it's certainly too late to email me.
Yeah.
I'm at...
that ship has sailed.
Yes, that ship has sailed, and I'm no longer at volunteers@hope.net.
You're the volunteer coordinator.
I'm the volunteer coordinator, Cheshire Catalyst here, And I will be sitting at the entrance to the Penn Pavilion, which is the area next door to the main entrance of the Hotel Pennsylvania.
Just to the left.
Just to the left. I'll be checking in those people who have emailed me. If you'd still like to come down and volunteer, please feel free to come by, and we'll find a way to tag you somehow. And
now, this volunteering you're speaking of, what kinds of things might people do to help?
Well, they're probably going to be stringing a lot of wire for the networking area. There's going to be a lot of stuff to carry in. How many pallets of Club Mate are there?
Five?
Yeah. There's
And how many cases per pallet?
I'm not giving away all our trade secrets right here on the radio.
It might be a trade secret to tell us what a pallet contains. Which is
it's not a trade secret. No, we need help to lift that stuff.
We have thousands and thousands of bottles.
I can say it's a total of 4,000 kilograms.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
So, and we can't lift that by ourselves.
By ourselves. So if you can come and help, we'd certainly appreciate it. Just come by the hotel. We'll get you tagged in as a volunteer. Now, this does not mean that you're going to get into the conference for free. You still need to register for the conference. You will get a nifty T-shirt and the camaraderie of working with other interesting volunteers. There's going to be a lot of downtime. You'll be able to sit there and chat with actually the most interesting people at the conference, your fellow volunteers,
mm-hmm.
because those folks who come out and help are really neat people, I've found.
Yeah. Everyone else is a slacker.
Where's A-Team? You're a volunteer. Come over and say what being volunteer meant to you and what kinds of things you've done at Hope.
Volunteering has actually always been the best part of the conference. That's when you get to meet all the most interesting people, you know, that you're going to be spending the weekend with. That's where I met not Kevin. That's where I met some fine Dutch people
mm-hmm.
who spoke very good English. And, yeah, it's just like you said, camaraderie and just helping out. It's the spirit of the conference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think last time you were handling the segues.
Yeah, segues.
Oh, you know, I was supposed to call the guy today. We're trying to get the segues still. And
yeah,
it's
kind of a little...
Well, it's just kind of difficult working out the logistics, but I think, I'm pretty sure, we're going to get these one way or the other.
Okay.
Yeah. We have to build one ourselves. We're going to get them.
Besides volunteer coordinator, I'm also a speaker. And are we going to have an area for speakers to have, autograph sessions and what have you?
Sure, we have all kinds of space. We'll have book signings. The new 2600 book is out.
Ah, good.
And we have Robert Steele, I know, is bringing a bunch of books.
I've brought some e-books that I throw together for these things.
Mark Tobias is bringing books. Everyone's bringing books. Yeah. So, writing apparently is a new thing. So, yeah, we'll have that, and we'll have a huge vending area. And Mike, you know something about the vending area, right?
We're going to have a whole bunch of vendors. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of old vendor friends and new vendor friends and maybe even some vendor enemies, I don't know.
Yes, we'll see how that goes. By all means, show up tomorrow. Pre-registration actually opens, what time did we say it was going to open?
I don't know.
We came with, I think it was 4 p.m.
Four, yeah, 4
right, from 4 to 8, you can come to the hotel tomorrow, yes. Which is at 401?
401 7th Avenue.
7th Avenue, right between
Street.
33rd and 32nd.
Right. Also, if you're looking for a map, try map.findu, findu.com/W2H, our special event call sign.
Wow.
I was able to send a packet into the ether on 144.39 megahertz the other night. It got picked up by the packet radio network, sent to the server in South Florida, and will now show up as a map at that web address.
map.findu.com/W2H.
We should say on the registration note, I've just been informed by silent text message that
you don't phone anymore, right?
No,
silent mode.
Silent
it's
mode.
It's worse than vibrating mode.
You're right there.
Completely
silent mode.
Completely silent. Okay,
but I've been informed by silent text message that our registration coordinator, Junes, now has use of both hands, so he'll be able to register people all the more efficiently.
Okay, and next time he'll keep his mouth shut when he says something about somebody in a bar.
Yeah, well.
All right.
Well, you know, hopefully he'll learn.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. Okay, great. It's all the makings of some really fun things. We haven't even gotten into all the speakers that we have. We have, I think, close to 200 speakers at this point and over 100 talks that will be taking place starting early Friday morning and ending Sunday night.
Friday at 10. That's
10 in the morning. Yeah, well, you know, you got to start sometime.
There are morning people.
Cheshire, you're a morning person. You're always up in the morning.
Friday at 10 a.m. is my talk.
You're kicking off the conference, in fact.
In
one of them, we have three tracks. Yep. Actually, we have four tracks. We have the unscheduled track, which you can sign up for, and talk
there's
about
a telephone topic too.
Mm-hmm. All sorts of things. Yeah. So there's that, and
I'm sorry. On Friday, I'm emailed Descendants of the Telegram.
Oh, that's your talk on Friday.
On Friday, yes. Okay. I thought it was my other talk.
So that'll be the speaker area. That's on the 18th floor,
yes.
And all the other activities are taking place on the second floor.
Yes, and my talk will, of course, be in the Ingressia room.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we've named rooms this year.
Yes.
We've named rooms after, tell who these people are?
We have the Hopper Room, mm-hmm. named for Grace Hopper, a little old lady in the Navy Department that wrote COBOL. She was a very big influence in early computing and was well known to hand out at her lectures a length of wire 11.9 inches long, which was the distance traveled by light in 1 nanosecond. And she would hand out these nanoseconds as part of her lecture. Also, another thing she was well known for was having a clock in her office that ran backwards. The reason? To prove to people that there was more than one way to get the job done.
That's her way of proving it to people. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
nice and subtle and got the point across.
Just would have done the job differently. But
yep.
That's a
hacker type of mentality.
Did she turn the numbers around, or how did that work?
Well, the numbers were on the clock in
So the clock ran counterclockwise.
Yeah.
It's like
she's
holding up a mirror or something.
So like the three
right?
where the nine is?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Let's move on to Turing. What, no one has anything to say?
I didn't want to interrupt.
No, somebody has more information on Turing. I know he's British. And, the Turing test is named for him.
Mike has a little more than that.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
What do you got, Mike?
Well, we discussed this the other week, but Turing wrote one of the first, or the first computer science paper.
Does Turing have a first name?
Alan.
Okay.
Alan Turing.
That's right.
Yeah, he's Alan M. Turing.
All right, let's not go crazy.
Go that far. He wrote some of the very early work in computer science, which is not necessarily the same as the early work in physical computers themselves. We got an email wanting me to be very clear about that point.
Fair enough.
And then he went and worked for the British government, cracking the Nazi codes during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on to be thinking about artificial intelligence, the famous Turing test, which is how you can maybe determine if we have achieved artificial intelligence or not. He did some work in biology. Then he was arrested because he was homosexual, and that was a crime at the time. And
what time was that?
This would be the 1940s, 1950s.
Okay.
And he was sentenced to take estrogen as a sort of punishment. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
He ended up committing suicide shortly thereafter. So
well, naming a room after him doesn't make up for any of that, obviously, no. But it's the least we could do. So we have the Hopper Room, we have the Turing Room, and we also have the Ingressia Room, also the late Joe Ingressia, also known as Joy Bubbles, phone freak extraordinaire, blind phone freak, lived in Minneapolis.
Yes.
Did you ever talk to him, Cheshire?
I did, yes. He actually called me one night. He was just playing around, and of course I have a very unusual phone number.
Uh-huh.
I really shouldn't.
You're not going to give out your phone number over the air, are you?
It's unusual enough that he was able to determine the phone number and call it just to see who was there.
Ah.
It was me. And once I found out that Joy Bubbles, which was the name he wanted to use at the time, was actually Joe Ingressia, we just sat there and chatted as a mutual admiration society.
Okay, and then this the final room, the unscheduled track, is, now what is this, Mike? Zeus?
Zusa.
Z-U-S-E.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
It's about Konrad Zuse.
Konrad Zuse. Okay.
Yes.
And
I figure if I say it with enough excitement, that'll almost be enough.
Okay. And what did he do exactly?
He invented some of the very early first real computers.
Nice ring, Cheshire.
First programmable computers.
Uh-huh. Okay. So we have all these, and then we have Elevator Lobby, but I guess that wasn't really named after anybody. But all right, who's the wise guy who named the bathrooms the Valente Suites? That's
not
very
nice. Do you want to talk about Valente?
Jack Valente,
his important contributions
oh
to hacker culture?
I think that's not a way to honor his memory, to name bathrooms after him. And that was not my idea, I'll tell you that right now. And nothing to do with me. But yeah, those are the rooms as they're named right now. And of course, that's just part of the whole conference. We're going to be spending the next couple of days just getting it all set up. And hopefully Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will be ton of fun. Lynn, looks like you have something to say.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I saw some email traffic back and forth about what was the final name given for the room where the amateur radio exams are going to be given.
Well, you know, we were going to name that, Maxim.
Maxim,
and then
but
we were
not enough people know that Maxim was the head of the American Radio Relay League, and so Marconi was thrown out. People would recognize it as radio.
And then we forgot about it and didn't make the sign, so it's right. Probably just going to be called Zurich, like the room is actually called.
That's what the room is actually called.
That's dull.
Well, all these rooms have names already. We just are sort of renaming them.
Yeah, but the names are Pentop and Skytop, and I can't keep them straight.
That's true. And Madison as well.
Wait, Madison, okay.
What's dull about Zurich? Zurich's a wonderful place.
Well, you know, as far as cities go, it's not exactly... I mean, it's a picturesque city. It's certainly got a lot of money
and
scenery.
Where Einstein went to college.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not exactly a party town, is it? No.
Well, you know, down on the riverfront, they got the beer gardens. It's nice.
Anyway, so you can look forward to seeing all sorts of activity around the Hotel Pennsylvania next couple of days, and a lot of media coverage, too. We have tons of media that have been expressing interest all over the world coming by for this thing. Somebody from Psychology Today wants to cover it. I mean, all sorts of
realms. Are they saying we're all crazy?
I don't know. We'll have to read the article, I guess, to see what that's all about. But that's going to be a lot of fun.
Wall Street Journal, I understand, is coming.
Yeah. Yeah, Wall Street Journal. Just about every major and minor.
I understand 2600 Magazine will also be there.
We're going to have a representative or two there for sure.
Actually, I didn't hear from Scientific American.
Yeah,
Psychology Today emailed me today.
Is there a Scientific Canadian? Random man, tell us, is there?
I don't think so, but I think it's just that, you know, we're all too cold and just worry how to huddle around the fires. And
well, yeah, but do you read Scientific American up there? Isn't that a bit of a put-down? You know, because we're not very scientific down here. We're more like Bible thumpers.
Well, you guys spend all the money to make all the scientific research first.
Yeah. You know, something funny happened today. I was driving the 2600 van, and I didn't realize this. Remember, the 2600 van is decked out in the colors of the phone company back in 1994, mm-hmm. which is when we actually painted it up. And back then, there was the phone company was New York Telephone, a 9X company. It went New York Telephone, 9X, then Bell Atlantic, and now Verizon. So the colors...
back then, it was still the old Bell system colors
exactly.
with the blue and gold stripes.
Blue, gold, and white were mm-hmm. the stripes. Now,
and
today, Verizon is... what is it? It's red, white, and black?
Black.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a Verizon truck pass me on this little road, and he waved at me. So now I'm thinking, why is he waving at a truck that has totally different colors? In his mind, you see those colors, and you think telco. And I'm sure he like slammed on his brakes like a few seconds after that.
Emmanuel, how many fingers was he waving with?
It was a friendly wave.
Wasn't there another organization with a red, white, and black red? White and black flag?
Oh, I'm sure there have been. There have been a many.
But, you know, the amazing thing is that we are the traditionalists.
Isn't that something? It's so weird, because almost as soon as we painted the van to look just like our phone company truck of the day, mm-hmm. that's when the phone company decided to change their look.
Right.
Because they realized there was a losing battle. Mm-hmm. So that was
Well, it was marketing. Mm-hmm. They wanted to lose the old image.
You know, a pet peeve, I'd just like to get this out, because this always happens during conferences. We wind up, we have to get all this stuff. We have to buy things and rent things, and it involves a lot of charging onto credit cards and things like that. Every single time we have a conference, something happens to one of our credit cards, and this time it happened to two of our credit cards, where it just got turned off. This is I'll point fingers. I'll name names. Chase is a bunch of idiots, you know. They turned off one of our credit cards, didn't tell us. And then we got one of those automated phone calls saying that some computer had flagged us, and we had to call and talk to another computer that then listed out suspicious charges. It listed one suspicious charge, and that was a monthly recurring charge that we've had for years. So what's wrong with these morons? That first of all, they must have seen us charging something else, but they don't ask us about that. They ask us about something that's normal. And as soon as we said, yes, that's normal, they said, oh, okay, your card is now unfrozen. I mean, what's the logic behind that? Does it make any sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, tell me, Bernie. I'm dying to know.
They would like you to think that they're doing this for your protection. They're not. They're doing it for their protection because you're not liable if someone else uses your credit card. Under Regulation E, you have a pretty reasonable amount of time to dispute any charges that show up on your bill, and under federal law, the credit card company has to eat that.
Yeah, but Bernie, they're asking about charges that show up every month. Why are they asking about those charges?
They are totally out of control at Chase, apparently. I've had some bad dealings with them in the past as well. But that's why they don't really care about protecting their customers as much as they're interested in protecting themselves.
And then later on, I was driving the van. I was on the expressway, and I was trying to make it to the hotel before the show so we could unload some stuff. And I realized, you know, I'm going to have to go through the Midtown Tunnel with my Easy Pass. And that's when I remembered my Easy Pass has been sending me nasty letters lately because I didn't tell them the new expiration date of that same credit card. Apparently, they can't figure it out on their own. And every time I tried to access their online system, it was down, so I just never got around to it. I realized, hey, I'm going to go through the Midtown Tunnel, and I might get into trouble or something because I'm in a fight with Easy Pass. So I called them on the phone. And I got into this tussle with the woman I eventually got connected to because I didn't know my PIN number. I haven't called them in years. And then she started asking me for various other numbers, and I was getting them wrong. I got my phone number wrong. I got my credit card number wrong because I used the wrong one. And meanwhile, this is the most unsafe way to drive. I'm on the phone. I'm, like, going through my pocket looking at credit cards. I'm approaching the Midtown Tunnel hoping I can get the Easy Pass turned on properly before I hit it. And it was real mayhem. Meanwhile, my other phone is ringing constantly, nonstop, and it's 90 degrees on the expressway. That, my friends, that is hope preparation. That's what it's all about. So, but I made it. I made it just in time. The Easy Pass got reactivated, and everything's cool. Made it through the tunnel. Didn't even get searched by the cops. Which, by the way, Greg, are you still there? I guess he's not.
The light is still on.
Greg, did he fall asleep? Okay. Oh, you sound so far away. Greg, you know you will be searched tomorrow when you go through the Midtown Tunnel with a big truck, right?
Yes, and I will not have any contraband with me.
Uh-huh.
So, well, I'm daring, and I'm going to wear my little Leatherman, you know, my little multi-tool.
Uh-huh. Interesting. You know, your phone it sounds like it's on Mars or something. You have a pillow up against it or something?
I'll tell you what, let me, I'm on this, Bluetooth thing and I can disconnect and you can try calling me back if you want. I did want to make a comment before about the volunteering, so if you call me back, I'll put in my two words.
Do you want to try that, Mike? Alright, we're going to try calling you back and hopefully, why can't he just disconnect the Bluetooth?
I don't know, I think it's a new phone for him.
Phones. Speaking of new phones, now we have every hope, we have a crisis of sorts now. The Easy Pass thing could have been the crisis. At one point, we had no insurance. That was another crisis.
But
we fixed that.
The Easy Pass should be the biggest crisis we have.
I know, but it won't be. You know it won't be. There's always a bigger crisis. Now, today, I want Mark to tell this story. Today, Mark left his phone at home. He has an iPhone. And
wait, Mark is without his iPhone?
Yeah. He left. Today, of all days, he left at home. And he had to make all these phone calls to make all sorts of reservations and things like that. Now, Mark, what did you do? You had to get a new phone somehow, but somehow you got your old phone number onto that phone.
Right, I left my iPhone.
Hang on, that mic is not working for some reason. Lift that up.
Hi.
Try that.
My iPhone in the
PC. No, use that one then. There we go. Try one more time. Go ahead. But you got to put your head down next to it. There you go.
Left my iPhone in the beautiful state of New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
When I got to Manhattan, was told that I couldn't get a new phone because I didn't have a driver's license with the account number. So I went.
That's
to,
fair, right? Yeah. I mean, you don't want somebody saying they're you and getting another phone.
Right. So I went to another AT&T store and was able to get it just fine.
Now, okay. Hold on a sec. First of all, obviously you left your phone in New Jersey, so the SIM, iPhones have SIMs, right?
Some iPhones do have SIMs.
Okay. So that's in that phone. So how in the world do you transfer that to another phone and get the same phone number?
Right. I went to I was instructed by AT&T to go to Kmart and buy GoPhone, which is their prepaid service.
Okay.
And then I took it to that store, and they were able to activate it from my existing number.
What did you have to tell them in order to get them to give you the phone number that you were asking for?
Unfortunately, just my student ID.
You're kidding. That's it? So somebody else could have just made up an ID for you. Yes?
And the last four of my social.
But okay, how hard is that to get?
That's not very hard to find.
No. So you're saying you could just go into an AT&T store, give the last four of someone's social security number, show an ID with your face on it, and not even legal ID, because school ID is not really legal ID.
Right.
It's not government ID.
No.
And they'll just
schools
give you...
Schools are operated by the government.
Well, yeah, but not... you know what... So that's all it took, and you got your old phone number.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if my iPhone will be all messed up when
yeah,
I
now
get
that's,
into New Jersey.
I was wondering what's going to happen to your iPhone now. You're going to have two phones with the same number.
Deactivated.
I'm sorry, say that?
They will
get deactivated.
They'll be deactivated? So you'll have to get a fourth iPhone. You've been through how many iPhones now?
I will be an angry iPhone user.
You're like the first person to buy an iPhone. Well, one of the first.
One of the first.
Yeah. And
you might be able to just transfer the SIM card from this GoPhone into that, but then the iPhone will be a GoPhone for a while.
The iPhone will be a GoPhone. It will be a iGoPhone.
There you go.
No, because my phone's no longer on a Go service. It's on my contract.
Mm.
So.
Okay.
It just got so. But I have to say, you know, you sprung into action.
SIM card.
You sprung into action pretty quickly and managed to find a solution that at least worked for today, whether or not your entire phone is now messed up for all time. That's another thing. But that was a crisis today, but I don't think that's the crisis yet that's going to hit us. There's always something.
I think it was.
You think
it was?
Okay, yeah, then it's going to be smooth sailing from here on in.
Yep. Oh, no,
it's always something that happens, you know.
It's always a tornado.
Like you said, we still got the Midtown Tunnel to drive through, so who knows?
Yes, yes. Now, Greg, you had something to say, Nat. You sound a little bit better.
Yeah, I was using one of these Jawbone Bluetooth things, and I think they're good for some purposes, but I don't think they sound as good generally. They're the the ones that do the bone inductance thing, so
right.
It doesn't have as much of a microphone.
It seems your bones are not very inductive.
Yeah, we mean that in the best of ways, but
I think they need to shave, actually, for that to work effectively.
Uh-huh. Okay, so now you were going to tell us something else, right?
Oh, I wanted to point out earlier when Cheshire was talking about volunteer stuff, just that, and he doesn't even know this, that we have a couple of trucks showing up earlier than we thought on tomorrow morning, Thursday morning. So we probably could use a few volunteers earlier as opposed to later.
What time are we talking about?
10 o'clock.
I'm sorry, say that again?
10 a.m.
10 a.m.
People are on site by like 9:30, quarter to 10, 10 a.m., that would be great.
Do you know
my
what?
Message to volunteers did say that to come around 10 a.m. if they could.
Now,
so
do you know what side of the hotel? Is it 32nd Street or 33rd Street?
Well, when volunteers show up, they should go into the main pavilion entrance, which is just to the left of the 7th Ave entrance for Hotel Pennsylvania, where the big marquee is.
Okay, is that going to be open at that time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
But then the actual loading dock and all that activity will be on the 32nd Street side, but it's not going to be like nonstop there. Basically, we'll know a truck is coming because they'll call us on cell phones. And everyone will, go and wait for the truck, and we'll get the elevator there.
Okay.
So people don't need to hang out, the whole morning. They'll basically go down when there's a truck.
Yes. And please, folks, if you do come down with the intent on helping out, because just standing around watching, it might be entertaining, but it does kind of get in the way, because we're still setting things up. Friday, of course, you can come and stand around and point at us and whatever else you want to do. Any final words before we head out of here and start up Hope?
Come to Hope.
Yes, please. Not too late. Not too late. Registration open tomorrow from 4 to 8 at the hotel.
Oh, what's the final ticket price for
walk-in? Well, we can't give numbers out over the air, but I will say it's just slightly above what it was for pre-registration. Not very much at all. And we take euros as well.
Something like 5 above?
Yeah, maybe that. But then we also take euros. And credit cards, too. So you can come with those as well. And again, from 4 to 8 on Thursday, and registration opens. What time does it open on Friday?
Like 9.
Yeah.
It goes till 8:30?
8:30, wow.
Wow, pretty early. Okay, and you can come by and help out and all sorts of other things.
Enjoy
awesome.
The conference.
All right. Everybody say goodnight at once.
Goodnight.
Goodnight.
Oh, my God, there's a lot of people in here. All right, we're going to go out with another phone song, as is our tradition. This is the Fun Boy 3. See you at Hope. Have a good night.
man, I love that show Off the Hook, man. That show is off the chain. I mean, a hook. All right. Hey, you know what? It's, how about those All-Stars, huh? Man, oh, man, they're great.